Now I have a machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting and very special Christmas episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, now I have a machine gun. Ho.
Wrong answer, Nick.
Ho. Festivus. Festivus 2020. What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, first of all, I'm almost glad that this year is over.
Almost. I was ready for this shit to be over in like June.
True. This is our Christmas spectacular.
It is. We are that dumpster on fire, ready to deliver. I set up my Christmas tree today. Did you set yours up?
No, I can't. My office is in my living room.
Copy that. Mine is lovely. It's got three Dunkin' Donuts ornaments on there and two Red Sox ornaments.
Well, that's all you need.
That's all you need, right? That's the winner.
That's a Boston-based Christmas tree.
It was hard on me to throw the glassy Hayward ornament away, but I did it. I was strong. I let it go.
Did it smash?
it was clearly broken. Had like tape all over it.
So let me ask you, do you guys have the opportunity out there to get a real Christmas tree?
We do have them. People buy them. I do not have a real one. And most of my life, I didn't have a real one, just here and there. But you can get one here. Absolutely. We usually get like a real wreath just because we like that smell.
The smell, like the smell of poopery?
Yeah, that is correct. Like poopery. Absolutely. Shouts the little squid.
Too funny. So, Christmas music.
Christmas music. Yeah, let's start with the Christmas music. It is the Holiday 2020 Spectacular. And to begin, I say music. Let's do it with the music. So what are we doing? Is it like top 10, top 10 of all time, our favorites? What are the rules here?
Top 172 Christmas songs of all time done by barking dogs.
Oh, I have 126 of those. Let me just add a couple. Okay, got it. I'm ready. I'm going to give you my favorite. Can I just give you my favorite of all time so you can yell at me about it?
Sure.
All right. My favorite Christmas song of all time, and I credit this to the amazing, I miss him, I still watch him here and there on Netflix, David Letterman, because my favorite Christmas song of all time is 1963, Darlene Love, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. Version is the right answer. That is my fucking favorite Christmas song of all time. Not
Darlene Love is the queen of Christmas songs.
She's unbelievable. She's just a queen. Just end it right there. Period.
And you know, fun fact, she is in a Christmas movie. She's in Lethal Weapon, dude.
Oh, you're right. Wait, is that a Christmas movie? It's too soon for that debate. That's in the second half.
Yeah, well, the second half we're going to bring out. We're going to go for a shootout. We're going to go all shotgun formation.
Oh. All right, give me one of yours.
I'm an unconventional guy when it comes to songs because
I don't believe it. You? I don't. Uncle Bookie?
I got sick of listening to the same songs over and over again. However, my favorite, I'll get this out of the way, my favorite Christmas song of all time is by Dean Martin.
This may sound a little hokey, but, well, I wrote a song and I'd like to make a record of it just for you.
It's a marshmallow world that we live in.
That's your favorite? All right, I'll allow it. Dean Martin has such a soothing voice. You know, it probably took him like 3 or 4 scotches to get there. But his voice is just very relaxing. Any of his Christmas versions, him or Sinatra, I'm always down for that. My second favorite's probably a little old school. I like that Bing Crosby White Christmas song. But shouts to Little Drummer Boy with Bing Crosby and David Bowie, because that's not bad either. A White Christmas only by Bing Crosby, that is the only answer there. That's that rings in the holidays for me. I hear that. I know I got to start buying Christmas presents.
You know, during that recording of that, he didn't know that David Bowie was coming in to sing that with him. So he was like, ba 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 boo, who's this broad couple to sing with me?
It's actually like a really good harmony. Unbelievable stuff. Good video, it too. Is. That's a good YouTube search.
It is. I mean, there is tons of Christmas songs out there. However, I love the blues. Now, the blues brings a little bit of something to a Christmas song that you've never heard. So a couple of these, I'm going to just give you two of them, okay? It's a song by an artist called Keb Mo. It's been out for a while, and it's called Jingle Bell Jamboree. Now, this is a blues song unlike any other type of blues song, because it's a Christmassy blues song, and it's not very well known. However, I'm hoping with the many, many listeners that we have out there and our super fans that they go out and they stream this, or they just go on to and say, hey, Alexa, can you go bring the song up for me? And let's see if anybody really likes it. So I really like some feedback on this one.
I'll go a little outside the box. I actually like ballet quite a bit, and the Nutcracker Suite. I like the Brian Setzer version, but there's so many versions of Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker, 128 years old now or something. We listen to it every year. I just love that. I love pieces of it. I love the whole thing altogether. It's on my iPod playlist. I constantly listen to it on my Christmas mix, and that's just something that stands the test of time. So I've always loved the Nutcracker Suite.
Jeez, I was thinking you were going to go with something a little bit hard, more rocky there with that when you were going
run,
up on that.
Run Rudolph with Chuck Berry? No, I like that tune. It's a good tune.
All right, here's another one. This is a cool song. This one, it was originally done by Pearl Bailey, and it's covered by Michelle Wilson, and it's called 5 Pound Box of Money.
Wow, these are outside the box. All right, you're taking us to no man's land. I kind of dig it. We're way up north.
We're not like a South Pole elf.
No,
we're not angry.
He's an angry elf.
No, we're not angry.
It's your cousin from Austin. All right, so 5 Pound Box of Money is, it's basically a song about she wants Santa to give her something, but she wants a 5 Pound Box of Money as that gift.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that, right? Money is always, listen, let me ask you this question off on a Captain Tangent moment here. When you're giving gifts, I have never once in my life complained about someone giving me cash or a gift card. So I often give gift cards and cash. I feel like that's just an all-time winner, right? Let the people choose.
Well, some people like that. Some people actually like to open up something and get something physical.
I guess.
Whether it's a blow-up piece of poop,
yeah,
or, you know.
I hear that's it. That's really popular in 2020.
Yeah.
The poop emoji, the giant blow-up poop emoji. People love that shit. Let me give you one that's traditional and kind of annoying, and I think you'll probably be mad at me for saying it. 1994, so it's right in my wheelhouse. Listen, it's a great tune. All right, I apologize, America, but Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is just a great, re-listenable Christmas tune. I love it. It's in one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time also. It's just a great tune. That thing's on my playlist like 3 or 4 times. It kind of breaks up every hour or so. I love that song.
Just because you said it on our podcast, we now owe Mariah Carey 42 cents.
Absolutely. You know, it's well worth it.
That song is the biggest selling Christmas song of all time.
Is it worth it? I don't think, like, I'm not offended by that. Maybe it shouldn't be, but I'm not offended that it is.
No, I'm not offended at all. It's a great song. She's a fantastic singer. And, you know, every Christmas I look forward to seeing her sing it.
You know what's clean about it? It's cleanly produced. You're the music guy, right? And it accentuates her voice perfectly. It's just a lightning in a bottle match made in heaven there.
And she wrote it. All right, here's another one for you. Obviously, we have our heavy metal style Christmas songs.
I was waiting for one of these coming from Uncle Bookie here.
You know, like Christmas in Sarajevo by the Trans-Siberian.
Yeah, that's not a bad tune. I kind of dig it.
A whole bunch of old, you know, metal dudes get together every year. Well, they can't this year as a tour, but they are going to have something out this year like they usually do every year.
Like on Zoom?
So on Zoom. You'll probably see it on Access Television or something like that. But here's a song. It's not really a metal band. It is a rock band. It's from the 90s. It's the band Everclear, which we all know.
Oh, yeah. Classic. Three really strong albums from Everclear.
And their Christmas song is their version of Santa Baby.
I dig that. That's actually a good tune. Probably hasn't aged as well as it should have. Kind of like, maybe it's cold outside. But yeah, all right. I dig that. I'm okay with that. I'll give you one more. I'm going to give you one more somewhat traditional one. And this is the only one that I sort of don't have a favorite artist because there's like 3 or 4 that I really, really like. But it always shows up on like Christmas best of Christmas albums or whatever. Please Come Home for Christmas. I think I like the Bon Jovi version the best, but there's a bunch of good ones of that one. And that's always mixed in. As you know, on East to West with Nick and Rob, I will always tell you that good songs are about falling in love, but great songs are always, always about breaking up.
All right. We've done the best. We've done our favorites. Do you have one song that you actually can't stand?
You know what? I don't know that I can't stand it, but Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is not one of my favorites. And it always annoys me when I'm shopping and that one comes on. And like the more they sort of wax poetic on like the goofy sounders and stuff, it annoys the crap out of me for some reason. That's one of my pet peeves.
Well, the one thing is if you go out shopping for Christmas, go to Target because they don't play music at all in there. It's like walking into a morgue.
Yeah, so. And I'm fine. I'd rather walk into a morgue than hear 25 versions of White Christmas that aren't as good as Bing Crosby's.
But you're right. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
It's kind of annoying.
Makes me want to go off. a 48-day continuous killing spree.
It's not as funny as it thinks it is, for one. You know, that's one problem. And it's not really a great tune.
The only song that I like that's a version of that is by, shouts out to Opie and Anthony from back in the day.
Oh, when they did Granny. East Coast, baby. Rep.
They did a song, Granny. And that's another one, you guys, that you can look up, Google it, whatever. It says Granny by Opie and Anthony. Just listen to it. It's not the version you'd think you'd want to hear.
Yeah. I will say Dave Matthews, who has not aged as well as when I was like in high school or whatever, his Christmas song, I also don't like it. It's like, it feels like it's 50 minutes long. It's probably like 9. But that song, there's nothing special about that song. But for some reason, when I was in high school, I listened to it a lot. Carol of the Bells. How do you feel about Carol of the Bells? I actually like that tune, but it plays so much that it starts to get on my nerves a bit. Gets under my skin.
Carol of the Bells. There's a version by Destiny's Child, which is really good.
Oh, is that right? I heard a heavy metal version of it that wasn't bad, but I can't remember what artist did it. All right, well, I think we about covered the basics there. We don't want to go too crazy with the Christmas songs. I can't stress it enough. If you're going to do one, if you're setting up your Christmas tree and you can only handle one Christmas song, unquestionably Darlene Love, 63, Christmas Baby Please Don't Come Home. They did it every year on Letterman. It made me feel like the holiday, it rang in the holidays for me, basically, because Letterman would do it. He'd take like a 3-week break in December. So it was always like that last week of November, first week of December. I love that tune. And she is so great. She is still great.
And if you're in the mood to give and you want to get that feeling that you should give, I would put on Do They Know It's Christmas? After all.
We're leaving that in. I'm not editing that out.
please don't.
All right, let's do some Christmas food. It's not as exciting as Thanksgiving, grubbies, but I got a couple of Christmas treats that I enjoy. What do you got, Rob?
Well, being Italian.
Are you Italian?
Yeah, so I'm Italian.
Oh, gotcha. All right. I did have that in my notes here.
Beep-ba-ba-ba-boop-ba. So Italians traditionally like to have the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Yeah, which I think is really, really good. Now, again, West Coast, we don't get the good seafood, so that's a bummer.
So in honor of that, you can do something a little bit different. You can make yourself a seafood stew or a seafood bisque or something like that.
Like a portofino,
and
yeah.
And you can add your seven fishes into that. So I believe that this year, that we'll be making that.
Really? So I want some food porn on that if that's the case. Make sure I see that.
Oh, there'll be like lobster in that, crab probably in there. You know, you never know.
I don't know if it's just because I'm West Coast and we just don't do good seafood here. It's much more difficult to get. But I am a prime rib guy every Christmas. We pretty much do it, I want to say 6-7 years in a row now. And I don't have, sometimes it's a tri-tip roast, but usually it's a prime rib roast. And that like kind of is something that's traditional for me during the holidays.
I love that too. You know what I really like to do though is, you know, you have the prime rib roast. I like the ribeye roast.
Yeah, the ribeye, we've done it before. It's been a few years since I did the ribeye roast, but I love that with the bones, the bone in, with the bones coming out the side. Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. Don't overcook it, but it's incredible.
This is what you do when if you're going to go out there, people, and get one of these things, okay? Get yourself a ribeye roast. It just looks like a beef tenderloin. It looks just like that, but it's got the bones on it still. So
yeah, the bones will be poking out the side.
You're not going to crown it or anything. You're not going to do anything fancy with it because that's silly.
Not necessary.
Make sure your bad boy has a nice fat cap on it, okay? And you're going to take that and you're going to season that with salt and pepper very heavily, very heavily.
You can't put too much.
No, salt and pepper, and then let it sit. And then get your oven ready to go. And then as soon as you're got your oven ready to go, and that's been sitting for like maybe half an hour, hit that with some more salt,
yep. Okay?
This is not going to kill it and make it overly salty. What this is going to do is it's going to help bring the flavors out.
Right.
And you're going to make sure that that piece of meat is on your pan that you're cooking it in, fat cap up. Now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to make it at 325. You're going to do this very slow and low. You know, keep checking it. You want to make sure that it doesn't go over 145. So once you get it around like 140 in the oven and all in 3 or 4 spots, you're going to take and you're going to pump your heat up in the oven to like 450 degrees. This is only going to be for a half an hour, okay? Because that fat cap's going to render right through and that fat cap's going to become this luscious, almost like the meat candy that you've been wanting for your Christmas meal. Let that render through. And what the 450 degrees is going to do is it's going to now crisp the outside of this and give it a crust.
That sounds incredible. I'm coming to your house for Christmas, if travel was legal.
And then just take it out, let it rest for about 15, 20 minutes, slice that bad boy up, and have yourself a little slice of Christmas heaven.
Never knew the bumble snow monster yet who turned down a pork dinner for deer meat.
What about some of the side dishes, Rob? Because I don't know if it's a Christmas thing, but I always do deviled eggs during the holidays. Is that a Christmas tradition?
I love deviled eggs. I guess it's an East Coast thing because we love them.
I guess that must be what it is. With paprika. You got to have the right paprika on there.
To have some chopped up olives.
You can't go wrong with olives. Come on, you're just winning me over there. What about eggnog? I'm an eggnog guy. And by the way, this was the first year that I tried the soy eggnog. It's not terrible. I can deal with it.
I don't like eggnog for just personal reasons because it just makes my
throat for a bad experience.
No, it just makes my throat for a cleft. If I have anything that's
too much. Yeah, too creamy, right?
Yeah. Like if I have ice cream on certain times, if I don't have a water with the ice cream, I'm going to be like,
I'm the same way. Hey, you know, European style, I've been to Greece recently and they do ice cream and ouzu. So I'm all down for ice cream and vodka or something like that. Just like a palate cleanser. Kind of reduces, reduces the dairy a little bit. I want to give a shout out to Dunkin' Donuts. This is the first time I had it. They err on the side of sweet. When I do my dark roast, it's cream, no sugar. But they do a sugar plum macchiato. It's the first time I ever had it. I think it's the first year they've ever done it. It's not fucking bad. Maybe it's a little sweet, but it's a Christmas treat. And I enjoyed it very much. So shouts Double D. I have one question though. The fruitcake thing. I really have two questions. So fruitcake is like the Eagles. When I was in my teens, I hated the fucking Eagles and I hated fruitcakes. As I get older, I've kind of grown to appreciate them. They're really not bad.
All right, there's two different kinds of fruitcakes. There's the store-bought fruitcake, which I think they just put back every year.
Don't get the one from Ross. That's from like 2017 or whatever. Don't get that one. If you get a fresh one, it ain't bad. I'm not talking about the one from like season 1987 or whatever.
So if you're looking at a fruitcake and you look at it and it looks like it's got like jellied fruit in it, don't get that one. There are fruitcakes out there that are really good.
There are some good ones, yeah.
Some of them are carrot cake, almost like based.
Yeah,
you know, with the fruit in it, but
I don't even know what you call it. Some of them are like green on the inside. I don't know. There's like a green tint to it. I don't know what that is, but it's good. I don't mind it.
I know what it is. It's called a doorstop.
Is that what it is? Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Copy that. I need some of those too. And then here's my other question. So gingerbread houses. Now, I know 2020 is a terrible year and we're not visiting each other anyway. But my rule of thumb was, look, if you put a gingerbread house out in the atrium or on your coffee table or whatever, I'm allowed to pick something off of it. Am I a jerk for that?
No, it's meant to eat.
It's meant to eat. Why would you make it if we can't pick off of it, right? I'm taking a jelly bean. I'm taking the handle of the door. That's going in my belly.
I mean, if you're going to be taking it and putting a little fence around it and says do not eat, I guess that's what you can do.
Yeah, okay, I agree. If you put a sign on there that says don't touch my fucking gingerbread house, fine. If there's no sign on it, I get to pick something off.
It's not art, people. It's food.
It can be both. It's not mutually exclusive.
Once again, people, if you like us, we'd love you to rate us. And please tell a friend.
Tell two friends.
Or three.
Tell 12.
12 friends at Christmas, my true love say to me. Let's have a little word from our sponsor. Merry Christmas.
Hi. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to all you viewers of Wake Up San Francisco.
Anchor.
Ah! Oh my God!
Santa here? I know him.
Ho, 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 and we're back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Christmas movies, man. Christmas movies.
Santa? OMG. All right, Christmas movies. I have a laundry list of Christmas movies, but I can narrow it down. Do you want to get the weird ones out of the way? Do you want to fight about Die Hard, or are we going to move past this?
I will fight about Die Hard to the end.
Come to the coast. We get together. Have a few laughs.
Listen, here's my hot take on whether Die Hard or Lethal Weapon, which to a lesser degree is or is not a Christmas movie. It would be the same thing as like Gremlins or Ghostbusters because they have the Santa hats on and stuff. Look, I don't care. I honestly don't care. You want to call it a Christmas movie? Fine. To me, it's an action movie that takes place during the month of December. That doesn't just make it a Christmas movie. But if you want to call it a Christmas tradition, that's on you, man. That's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
It is a Christmas movie, Nick. And Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
He did. I suppose that's true. Look, I'm not going to fight about anything with Alan Rickman. All right? That's just the way that goes. My favorite Christmas movie of all time has Alan Rickman. So look, we're both winners here.
Well, just to get it out of the way. It is a Christmas movie because it's a Christmas party they're having in the Nakatomi Towers.
I don't see snow, all right? I don't see...
They're in Los Angeles, desert boy.
He's on the roof. Santa doesn't come to rescue him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, and I will go further then. Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie as well. I agree.
Die Hard 2 is closer to a Christmas movie. You know why? Because there's fucking snow and shit. Like, it makes more sense.
They're at Dulles Airport. That's on the right. East Coast.
Will Sadler, naked yoga in front of the mirror. Nothing weird about that during the holidays.
Die Hard 1, Reginald Vell Johnson sings a song.
He does, yeah.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
I have a hard time actually deciphering between Die Hard 1, 2, and 3, and I basically disregard the rest of them. Which order are my favorites? It's probably 1, 2, and 3 just in that order, but I love that first three trilogy, and I think they probably should have stopped.
They should have, but Die Hard 6 is coming out.
Dollar bills.
Dollar bills.
Chris Pratt as John McClane.
It's young John McClane.
Matt Stafford's wife as John McClane.
I can see that.
Bill Barr, Attorney General, former Attorney General Bill Barr as John McClane. Full circle, baby.
Full circle. Well, we got that out of the way. Lethal Weapon, Die Hard 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Gremlins.
Gremlins, yeah. I don't think you should argue that one. It's clearly a Christmas movie.
A past episode, you said it was your favorite Halloween movie, but that's okay.
We're not here to split hairs. We're not here to talk about the past, all right? This is the Christmas special.
This is the Christmas. That's right. This is the time of peace, love, and joy.
Let me ask you this question, Rob. For Lethal Weapon, we could probably save this for season two, but Lethal Weapon 1, you know, where Mel Gibson is sort of more hard-edged and it's not super funny versus Lethal Weapon 2 when it transitions to funny, to Lethal Weapon 3 when it's like a legit slapsticky kind of comedy. What's your take on those first three?
The first one was great because it's the last time you see Gary Busey pretty much almost, yeah. You know.
Coherent.
Coherent.
Surfer bank robbers. Just hear me out.
So, yeah.
I think until Leo gets there, I don't know, man. I'm for like a 2 and 3 guy.
Leo Getz is great.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta admit that.
Okay. I make you laugh.
Lethal Weapon 2 is also a Christmas movie because if I recall, Mott Riggs is making his drug deal in a Christmas tree lot.
You know what? You might be right about that. Again, because it's West Coast, it's hard to tell with these things.
Boom!
You might be right. All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes, though. Let's get into the real holiday fare here.
All right, I'll start. I'll get this one out of the way first.
Ho, ho, ho.
Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy. Trading Places.
Oh, yeah, I can't argue with that. It's a classic. By the way, aged better than most Dan Aykroyd movies outside of Ghostbusters. It's a brilliant performance. It's a great fucking movie. I don't have any argument on that one.
Fantastic movie. And just to see that Santa suit just go through that disgusting transformation of nastiness.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. That coat just looks like the 80s.
Don't ever go on a train wearing a gorilla suit with a live gorilla on the train.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea. I'm going to give you a classic. I'm going to go backwards a little bit and give you one of my classics because my favorite sort of traditional Christmas movie is Miracle on 34th Street. I like the 47 one and I like the 94 one with Richard Attenborough as Santa. The 47 one, I think it's Edmund Wayne as Santa. Both of those two are brilliant. The black and white classic version and the 94 one with Elizabeth Perkins. I really like both those movies and that's like sort of a heartwarming, kind of boring favorite Christmas movie of mine.
Great Christmas movie. I thought you were going to go with another older one. I'm going to give you another one. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. Okay? Christmas Vacation.
Taught me everything I know about exterior illumination. Thank you.
Oh, it's classic. I got to cross that one off. 89 Chevy. You know, it's probably not the best vacation movie, but it's so memorable because of how friggin' off the wall it is. Let me ask you this. The legacy of these Lampoon movies, I even like the Vegas one, to be honest with you. But because Chevy Chase has come out on how he's such a dick. Does that tarnish the legacy of these Lampoon movies?
No, because I don't care. I know Chevy Chase was a dick.
Yeah.
I know him and Bill Murray don't get along. However, usual table, Mr. Papa George.
All right, let me give you another one here, because I never liked a girl well enough to give her 12 sharp knives. And my 1988 classic is Scrooged. Look, it's a brilliantly directed movie by Richard Donner. It's the best version of The Christmas Carol. It's Bill Murray, you know, Chevy Chase's mortal enemy, and your buddy Karen Allen from all those 80s movies and Indiana Jones. I think that movie is brilliant. It's incredibly rewatchable, and it has aged extremely effectively. So 1988 Scrooged as a comedy, love that film. Look, just staple them to the little mice's head. Have you tried staples? That'll work.
That is a fantastic movie. I love that. I love that David Johansen is the cab driver.
Oh, he's classic. He's really hamming it up with the cigar.
Fantastic movie. One of my favorites. I will watch this one every year when it's out. Now, I got something that's similar to that. This came out in the year 2000, okay? It's A Christmas Carol, but it's not like you think about. This one is about a London loan shark whose name is Eddie Scrooge, and it's played by Ross Kemp. Basically, it's just called A Christmas Carol. So it's a different take on the same story. Just add gangsters in there, and Jacob Marley is actually like Bob Marley in this movie.
Was it a TV movie?
Basically, was a TV movie. It was originally on the BBC.
Oh, okay. British. I dig it.
BBC or ITV, but I saw it once. I loved it. I had to search the movie out to find it again. I actually did find it again, watched it again, and it's not the best of the movies, but it's just a different take on it. So I don't like the period pieces all the time, so we have to go with something like that.
Like I said, there's been so many versions of that done. I can't remember which ones I liked and which ones I didn't. I think there was the animated version that Robert Zemeckis did or something. Some of those are fine, but ultimately, for that story, I prefer Scrooge to anything else.
I'm just going to go off on a little tangent here. Do you remember Mad? Obviously, you do. Mad TV.
Oh yeah, classic.
Do you remember the parody they did on with the claymation, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Rudolph,
oh, it's brilliant. Those movies from the 60s are incredible.
Once again, people, Google this, look it up. It's from Mad TV, and it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and he has to hire someone to take out Santa Claus and take over the Empire of the North Pole, and he hires Don Corleone or something like that.
Yeah, Don Corleone or something like that, yes. By the way, on your tangent, let me tangent off of your tangent. If you haven't tried it, Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun on Netflix will melt your brain. If you are sick of the news, if you are sick of 2020 and you want your brain melted, that's the show you want to watch.
I don't know. This sounds like it's going to have like a triple X rating on it.
It is super friggin' disturbing. There's nothing appropriate about it, but I still highly recommend it. Maybe for those reasons. Let me give you something wholesome, Rob. Let me give you something that is probably on TV way too much. For some reason, even though I've seen it maybe 100 times, I've not outgrown it and I've not gotten tired of it. It would have to be in my top five of all Christmas movies. It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, Frank Capra. It is a lesson on how to make a proper Christmas movie. It sets the tone for so many movies after it. I love, love this movie from 1946. It's aged wonderfully, and I will watch it probably in about a week or so.
Spoiler alert, this movie is actually about attempted suicide.
It is, and it's pretty dark, right? And I think like that's why the snow and the message and the ending all work so well. It is dark, but what it does is it's relatable to a lot of people. The holidays aren't just cheers and fun and family. Some people have a hard time during the holidays, and I think this movie and Frank Capra captured that just beautifully.
Well, I'm going to take you off on a weird little side tangent again. This just in, breaking news, Batman Returns is a Christmas movie.
Oh, I'm not going to fight you on this. It's a great movie.
A child who spent his first Christmas in many sins in a sewer.
Look, the penguins in the snow. If you have snow in your movie, I will allow you to be a Christmas movie. That is a wonderful movie. And by the way, Michelle Pfeiffer, never, never more stunning than as Catwoman in that movie. And the best Batman, Michael Keaton. So I'm not going to fight you on that one.
You can't. Michael Keaton, please come back.
Please come back. He's coming back. I mean, everything's weird because of COVID, but I think he's coming back. How about another weird shout out for Ernest Saves Christmas? It's not quite National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, but I like that one. 88, you know?
What was his catchphrase?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. You know what I mean.
Hey, Vern, it's Ernest. I'm on TV.
All right. This is a movie that I found out there will never be a sequel of this movie, and there should be. And the only reason why there is not a sequel with this movie is because the director of this movie and the lead actor in this movie do not like each other personally. We don't know. We haven't figured it out.
It's a common tale in Hollywood.
The movie is Elf.
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
Oh! Bob Newhart, legend.
Bob Newhart, James Caan.
Yeah, I mean, you always forget James Caan is in there. The forehead, it gives it away. Just incredible performance.
Look, bud, I have 16 houses.
Santa! It's a brilliant performance, and I think Will Ferrell is so fucking earnest.
So Elf, you know, like I said, sadly, there will never be a sequel to this movie. However, it doesn't need a sequel. Sequels kind of ruin some movies. This movie is great as a one-and-done Christmas classic. They didn't make Miracle on 34th Street 2. I mean, they made 300 other versions of it, but they didn't make 2 at the end. They didn't make It's a Wonderful Life 2.
No, and rightfully so. And actually, I think Elf as a standalone is perfectly fine. It has stood the test of time. And like I said, Will Ferrell is so fucking earnest in that movie. His performance just seals it. It's lovely. Zooey Deschanel is lovely. It's just a brilliant, brilliant movie.
And they don't want a sequel to this because it would be as dumb as making Titanic 2. So
yeah, exactly, right? Although I'd like to see that movie now.
Unsinkable too.
Under the sea.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Okay, so my last one that I'll bring up here is a movie that you'll probably roll your eyes at, but I love. It's one of my favorite writers and directors, Richard Curtis. And it's got my buddy Hugh Grant, who I'll circle back to on recommendations. Look, I'm on Shag Highway heading west, and Love Actually is just a great fucking ensemble movie. Not always do these ensemble movies work out, but this one is just beautiful. It's incredibly rewatchable. It's got lots of good messages on it. It's got a great cast. And it closes with my Mariah Carey song, which is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. So I dig it, man.
Unbelievable. I like it too. It's good.
Solid.
It is a Christmas movie. It's a solid Christmas movie.
Yeah, very rewatchable.
My final one has some actors in it, which sadly have passed. Jingle All the Way. This is a it's an action figure Christmas movie. Let's just
What is the action figure called? I can't even remember. Robo Man or Turbo Man? Yeah, Turbo Man. It's a little weird. As long as you don't know the personal history and the reality of Arnold Schwarzenegger's housemaid, I think you're okay with this movie.
We lost someone from this movie, and he lives on in this movie because he was one of the best comedic minds out there. And this was Phil Hartman. This is like one of his last.
Oh, he's genius. Yeah, he's genius. Phil Hartman, one of my top 10 castmates of SNL, just an incredible actor. And yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, but I do like this movie, and it does prove somewhat rewatchable.
As always, we want to say Merry Christmas to all of our troops.
Merry Christmas. Troops overseas, we know the holiday season is always tough when you're overseas, far away. Shouts out from home. If you want to email us, what's the email, Rob?
East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com. Or if you want to hit us up at Twitter,
that would be Nick and Rob E2W.
Give us your name, give us your duty station, and we will give you a shout out on E2W.
And also, once again, a big Christmas shout out. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all our veterans, our wounded warriors, and just pretty much almost everybody out there that knows that 2020 was a bad year, but things are only going to get better.
I totally agree with that. The year is almost over. Let's end it with some smiles, some eggnog, a lot of olives, and maybe a prime rib or a ribeye roast.
What's a Christmas tree without tinsel and pretty silver and gold decorations? Can't really call it a Christmas tree now, can you?
Decorations, man.
Oh, we're going to bring this up?
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest decorator. How about you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. I'll do a tree. I'll put up some limited lights, and my mom shouts, who sends me a nutcracker each year, I will pick my favorite 4 and put them out all over the living room.
You have a nutcracker army?
Yeah, I have a nutcracker army, yeah.
Okay, usually I haven't put up decorations in a while, just haven't felt like doing it.
Yeah, I understand. I like a wreath, and I like a little holly every now and again, but that's probably the extent of it. I don't go too nutty.
I just like my neighbors to think that I'm just a mean one.
There's one thing I hate, all the noise.
So you get a wreath.
I always get a fresh wreath. That's a no-brainer for me. And I generally do a tree. And depending on the year, I'll put a couple lights inside, a couple lights outside. I'm not trying to set the world on fire, but I am willing to put up some lights. Nothing inflatable, because those little bastards out there running around are going to pop my Santa. So
you don't get up on top of your roof and put in 25,000 twinkling lights?
No. Anything that requires me to go on the roof is a problem. What about like holiday snacks? Are you like the Christmas M&Ms on the coffee table? Is that something that's part of the repertoire?
I used to do that. You know, snacks for me.
Andy's Mints. Andy's Mints feels like a holiday candy for me. I don't want to shout back to Werther's the OG pod. Make sure you listen to that if you haven't yet. Yeah. But Andy's Mints, I feel like they're a holiday snack.
Okay, Andy's Mints, perfect for Christmas. Not so perfect in your Halloween sack.
Yeah, it's got problems. How about recommendations, Robbie? Any recommendations this week?
I have two. Yes, Nick, it's on Showtime again.
God, Showtime, you're killing me with Showtime.
It's the documentary simply titled Belushi.
Oh, yeah, I've got to watch that. That's going to get my money.
It's sad, but it makes you smile at the same time just to know that this guy was just a comedic genius and, much like a lot of comedians out there, was a very tortured soul.
Yeah, I got to be in the right mood for that, but I will get to that by the end of the year, I promise, sir.
My other one is on HBO, and it's simply called The Apollo. This is...
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
2-hour
documentary. Is it a miniseries or is it a one-timer, one-shot?
One-shot, 2-hour documentary on the Apollo Theater. And there were some things there that I did not know. Like, I mean, it's not like a spoiler because you can look it up, but I didn't know that the Apollo actually went bankrupt and shut down.
I don't think I knew that either. Wow.
And it was saved and brought back to life.
No spoilers?
I'll let you watch the documentary. Right. However, the booing has been going strong since 1931, I believe.
Oh, beautiful. I think that Showtime has given us a lot this year, so credit to them. They've kind of evolved as a network. But HBO documentaries are just brilliant. Netflix is coming up strong, but I'll watch any documentary on HBO. I think they just do a great job.
So what do you have for...
I don't want to end 2020 on a downer, but it's kind of fitting for this year. I had tried this show weeks and weeks ago and almost brought it up on the pod. It's called The Undoing. It's David E. Kelly, who did Ally McBeal, Chicago Hope, Big Little Lies. He's got a certain way of running a show creator. And this show is glossy. It looks beautiful. It's Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman called The Undoing. And it's a murder show. And I think it's maybe one of the more standard murder shows I've seen in the last couple of years. It's a quiet miniseries. I think it's only 6 episodes long. And I watched the first episode and I was like, I'm immediately out. I don't want to do this. Then I went back a few weeks later and revisited it. And I had to binge it. You know, there's nothing incredibly twisty or captivating about it, with the exception of Hugh Grant's performance, which is just, I hope he wins an Emmy for it. He crushes that part. He is just given a lot of dialogue to chew on, and it's brilliant. So I highly recommend. I almost say it's better than Defending Jacob, which I had recommended weeks and weeks ago on Apple TV. I think this might be better. It's called The Undoing. It's on HBO. And if you got time over the holidays, check it out. Easy watch.
David E. Kelly must be on a roll because he has a show on ABC that I've been watching as well.
Big Sky?
Big Sky.
Is that good? I was wondering. I was waiting for someone to tell me if that was good or not.
It's good.
All right. It looks good. It had a cool, like, I saw some commercials and it looks like it's got a cool vibe. He makes a glossy show. His shows are always like clean and sort of cinematic looking.
I had to tell somebody that the character that's in it that plays a state trooper was Drew Carey's cross-dressing brother in the Drew Carey Show.
Is that right? Yeah. He's a good actor. I've seen him a couple things.
He's in The Founder.
Yeah, that's right. He's in The Founder. Yeah, good performance there. Absolutely.
So we can't end on a sad note like that with a murder show. We can't end a Christmas spectacular like that.
I'll say this. I think that 2020 has been one of the tougher years, recent memory for me. But heading into 2021, I'm optimistic. Don't you feel like a little bit of optimism? You know, it's not going to be a great start, but I think we're going to get there. And I think by next year, Christmas time, hopefully by summertime, we are out and about. We're watching movies in theaters again. We're having dinners again. Maybe we're flying cross country again. You know, when you're at the bottom, there's only one direction to go. So I'm looking forward to this New Year's Eve and to 2021. And I'm absolutely looking forward to season 2 of East to West with Nick and Rob. It's been a pleasure, sir.
It has been a pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, this is our final episode of season 1. Stay tuned for season 2.
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
Once again, thank you to all of our troops. Thank you to our friends, our family.
We're wishing you health, wealth, and a little happiness in the new year ahead.
Peace.
Christmas, Ted, what does that mean to you? To me, it was a living hell.
Santa! Mona! Samantha! Boom, you're dead. What does the toilet paper say on Lethal Weapon? I forget.
Boom, you're dead.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Good thing he used more than 2 sheets.
Okay, it's fantastic, right?
We're kicking off our fun old-fashioned family Christmas by heading out into the country in the old front-wheel drive sleigh to embrace the frosty majesty of the winter landscape and select that most important of Christmas symbols.